All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Revelation 17, and we'll continue through this chapter tonight. While you're turning there, Mike Brunner is down at Bayview, and he had a serious burn accident, so pray for him. He had a skin graft this morning, and he will have another one in a week. And if you know Mike Brunner, keeping him in the hospital and down for a week, well, he's already been in the hospital since Sunday. All I can say is good luck. You know, that's going to be a task, isn't it? Those of you that know Mike. But good news, there's two in a room down there, and so while Trish was waiting on the surgery to be completed, the fella lives probably a mile and a half from Mike and Trish, and he was also seriously burned by asphalt, yeah. 360 degrees, and it slid back on him, and so he is seriously burned as well. But anyway, Trish got to speak with him today, and she led him to the Lord, and so she was rejoicing. I said, "How's Mike?" "Well, let me tell you about this." So, yeah, she was all excited, but praise the Lord for that. And then I just have to tell you this. Karen and I had our photos taken today, but he has an extra camera, so everybody's good. And we sat down for our pictures, and he said, "All right, so they tell me you're one of the pastors." And I said, "Yes." And he said, are you the main pastor?" And I said, "Well, I don't know how you would define that, but probably, yeah, I'm the senior pastor," I said. And he said, "You know, how long you been here?" And I said, "Well, 27 and a half years." And he went, "Wow, that's awesome." He said, "Well, I want to tell you something." He said, "It's just been a couple of days, but your people are something else." And I said, "Yep, they sure are." And he said, "I mean, I have been asked more times than I can count, if I died today, do I know that I'd go to heaven?" And he said, "There's only one other church that I know of, and I do Maryland and Pennsylvania, and there's only one other church that I know of," and I didn't ask him which one it was. Probably should have, but I didn't. He said, "Only one other church that is concerned about that. But with your people, everybody's concerned about that." Amen. And he said, "Whatever you're doing, keep doing it." And I said, "All right, we'll try." But praise the Lord. But anyway, he said he was saved, and said he knows for sure he's going to heaven, so we thank the Lord for that. All right, let's get going here and see how far we can get tonight. All right, let's begin, please, tonight in verse 7, all right? Verse 6, I'm sorry. Verse 6 says, "And I saw the woman," all right? Now, the woman, don't forget, is the mother of harlots. If you look at the last verse in this chapter, the Bible says, "And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth." Now, I personally think that this great city is going to be the city of Mecca, where the Antichrist will center his ministry, all right, his work. I think it's there. As you all know, the Bible does not say Rome. The Bible says Babylon. The Bible does not say that the Antichrist is going to be a pope. The Bible says that he is the Assyrian. He's the Pharaoh. All right. He is the Assyrian. So very clearly, the Bible defines the Old Testament scriptures prophetically speaking of the Antichrist, call him by these names that that identify a specific region. And I have tried to pound it into everyone that the Bible is Jerusalem, Israel centric. The Bible, you'll not find anything in your Bible about the United States of America. It's not there. Now, I have looked and I have looked and I have looked, and it's not there. You just can't find it. Now, some people try to allegorize the Bible and put America in this or put America in that, but I don't see it. And so focus on that little region in the Middle East that God says is the center of the world. God says that Jerusalem, that Israel is the apple of his eye. And I've explained that to you. The rabbis tell us that if you see a husband and wife and they're standing gazing into one another's eyes, you can see your reflection, you can see your eye in one another's eye, that is the apple of your eye. Okay, so God says that when he looks at Israel and when he looks at the city of Jerusalem, that is the apple of his eye. All right, I missed it. What was said?
Oh, we were looking at each other's
eyes. Oh, okay. You were trying it out? All right. All right, do that at home, all right? All right, so the point is that everything is Israel-centric. It's all Jerusalem-centric. The Bible is not... there's no references in the Bible to Canada, right? There's no references in the Bible to Brazil. There's no references in the Bible to Japan, all right? These are nations that will be ruled by kings, by leaders, by presidents, and these will submit to the Antichrist and will fall in line and follow suit and do what the Antichrist tells them to do. But I believe that we need to keep the focus where God keeps the focus. And God keeps the focus on Israel and the Middle East. All right? So that's that's my personal opinion on that. And I think it makes a whole lot of sense. It makes a whole lot more sense than Rome. Whole lot more sense than Rome. Again, I don't see the Pope anywhere in the Bible. Old Testament, New Testament, the Apocrypha, the Pseudepigrapha, the Concordance, the maps. I don't see the Pope anywhere. All right? Nowhere. And if you do, we need to talk. Because it's not in there. He's not in there. You say, well, he's the vicar of Christ. No, he's not. No, he's not. Christ doesn't need a vicar. Christ doesn't need a vicar. No. We need to realize that we do not go through a man to get to God.
Amen.
All right? We don't go through a man to get to God. I've been here 27 and a half years. Not one time has anybody from this church ever come to me and said, Pastor, I need to talk to God. Would you relay my message? You don't need that. You see, the Bible says that you and I are priests. We are priests. I was out in Illinois and I had to have a little procedure done and went in for the pre-op, and the little girl said, would you like a priest? And I said, no, I am one. And she said, oh, Reverend, I'm sorry. And I said, oh, don't be sorry. I said, but I am a priest. And she goes, oh. And then she looked at me like, where's your collar? You know? And I said, this is what got her. I said, my wife's out in the waiting room. And I thought you were a priest. I am a priest. I am. Well, I don't get it, she said. I said, I know you don't. I'm trying to reel you in here, all right? Just bite down a little bit harder on that hook, and I'll get you in here in just a second. But the whole idea is you don't need to speak with some other man or woman to get to God. You and I have throne rights because we are priests in God's kingdom. All right? Now, he's our high priest, but we are priests nonetheless. Okay? So, let's read on. He says here in this 17th chapter, he says that therefore the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and the beast that carrieth her. So that the Antichrist, the beast that carrieth her. So the mystery Babylon is the city that where the beast will reign, and he has a system, he has a religion that he is going to force on the people. And so he says, now I'm going to explain all this to you. All right, so look at his explanation. He says that this mystery woman, that the beast carries, has seven heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Now, do you know anyone else who was and then was not, and then is, and still is? All right, so, of course, our Savior. He was here. He died on the cross. He was. Then he was not. And then 3 days later, he was again, and still is. All right? So here's the devil now imitating the Lord Jesus. Now, verse 9. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now, what is the woman? According to verse 18, the woman is a city. And I think that city is Mecca. And the system that goes with that is the religion of the Antichrist, which is going to be Sharia Islam. All right, now, read on. Here's the mind. Then verse 10, and there are seven kings. All right, so go back up here now. And look at this. Said the seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings, five are fallen. In other words, they've done their thing and they're done. All right? They're gone. They're in the past. They did their thing and then they're gone. So there are seven kings, five are fallen. Now watch this. And one is. And the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Now watch. And the beast, the Antichrist, that was and is not, even he is the eighth. All right, now, how many of you are just totally confused? Raise your hand. All right, good. All right, I'm going to show you what this is all about. All right, let's quickly pray. Father, thank you now for our time together tonight. I pray you'll bless this, give us understanding, help us to have a clear mind to receive this information. And Father, may we leave here with a better understanding of what's coming in the book of the Revelation. So bless now, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want you to notice that there are several symbols used by the Apostle John to describe this kingdom the beast is going to build. Now, don't forget, in the first 3.5 years, he is making peace with the world. All right, he is bringing the world together. There is nothing but chaos in the world today. Everywhere you look, there is chaos. You've got the world in total disarray, and you've got the Middle East ready to explode. You've got Putin and Russia killing innocents. It's just brutality at its worst. And the world, I don't see it getting any better anytime soon. Do you? And so here is just an absolute mess that when the rapture of the church takes place, the church is out of here. Then that Antichrist, that beast, is going to step up, and he is going to bring peace in the first 3.5 years. He will allow the Jews to rebuild their temple. And then at the midpoint of that 7 years of tribulation, so 3.5 years into it, he will then just turn on a dime, and he will become the devil. He will become the worst creature that men could possibly imagine. All that he did back here is going to be just forgotten because of what he is going to do during the second 3.5 years. And it's just going to absolutely, there they go again, it's just going to absolutely be a mess. Now, notice, let's start with the woman, all right? We are told in verse 3 and following several other verses that the angel showed John a woman. And in verse 18, we have the interpretation of that. Verse 18, the Holy Spirit tells us that this woman is a city. And John saw this woman ruling over that city, which this woman personifies a harlot, a prostitute, all right? She is the beast kingdom. She is the kingdom. She is at the capital, Mecca, the capital. And all of the Antichrist dealings are going to come out of that city where she is. All right, so if you look at verse 3 again, at the end of it, we read that she has 7 heads and 10 horns. Then you go over to verse 7 at the end, and you see again she has 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, look at verse 9, and you'll see the interpretation of the 7 heads and the 10 horns. All right, here's the mind that has wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now, folks, go back for just a moment, and let's look at this woman in verse 3. All right, she is sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having the 7 heads and 10 horns. Then in verse 4, the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup, not a tin cup, not a silver cup, all right, the most precious metal there is, gold, having gold, a gold cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Now, folks, what I want you to see there, why I read this to you, is I want you to notice the interpretation, in the explanation that John gives us about this woman, I want you to notice the gaudiness. I want you to notice the evil. I want you to notice the portrayal. She is seen as flashy. She is full of abominations. That means that there is disgusting behavior of which she oversees and condones. Not condemns, condones. Then you'll notice the wickedness that surrounds this awful kingdom. At the end of verse 4, we read that that she has a golden cup in her hand, and it's full of abominations, and it's full of wickedness. I was watching Newsmax the other day. Somebody asked me what news I watch. I don't watch Fox News anymore. I turned it off when they came out and said all the things they said during the election. I just don't watch it anymore. There's no difference, in my opinion, or there was no difference that night between all of them. So I turned it on to, I've been watching Newsmax ever since, and they did a story about 2 weeks ago. They did a story one night about the thousands, get this now, thousands of public elementary schools who bring in or are bringing in drag queens to read stories to elementary students, kindergartners, and first graders. And they were showing some of these things. I don't know what they were. So I don't know what they were. I mean, who knows? But I can tell you this, when I looked at those perverts, the first thing that came to my mind was they look hideous. They are not appealing. They are appalling. They are an abomination. All right? Now, don't forget, the Apostle Paul said that, and John said, the spirit of Antichrist doth already work. It's already here, the spirit. And that's what all of this is about, folks. It is nothing more than preparing the world for what's coming. Plain and simple. It is preparation. That's what it is. It is taking that which God describes, the Holy Spirit of God describes for us as a beast, and putting it before children. Folks, listen, I was told today that the hospitals are having terrible times right now dealing with 6 and 7 year old children wanting to commit suicide. Where are they getting this? Exactly. School, television, Sesame Street. They're using every media outlet they can get their hands on in order to groom our children. It's grooming. That's all it is. And I was sitting there looking at all these things and strutting around and these little kids sitting there going, what in the world? What is this? What's happening here? And you could see some of them were just in shock. I paused it so I could look at the faces of the kids. And they're sitting there going like, I don't think this is good. There must be something. What in the world are we doing? Do they know what's going on here? Look at these freaks. Yeah. Look at these things. And so then I started looking at some of the players. And some of them look like oversized aliens. They had these great big old heads because of fluffed up hair and wigs, and then it went back like you would see, in some kind of a science fiction movie. And they're strutting around in front of these kids. I looked at some others, and they looked like oversized street girls. Seriously. The short skirts and the high heels and all the rest of that, and it's disgusting. I'm going to tell you another thing. Some of them look demonic, if not all of them. Demonic. I got a question. Why not get a policeman to come in and read books to the kindergartners? Why not get a fireman to come in and read books to the first and kindergartners and the first graders? Why not get a state trooper? Why not get an Air Force pilot to come in and read to these kids? I'm telling you, folks, the inmates are running the asylum. And the perverts are in charge of the country today. So you can't say that. Well, I just did. So I don't like that. Well, I got a word for that too. Tough rocks. Two words. Tough rocks. It's the truth and you know it. So don't get mad at me for telling you the truth. Good grief. All right, look at verse 7. Got to hurry. Look at verse 7. He's talking here about a beast. Wow. And the beast that carried her. This beast is the Antichrist, who will head up this worldwide kingdom during the 7-year tribulation period. All right, now jump down to verse 15. The kingdom of this beast, the kingdom, will influence the entire world. Look at this. And he said unto me, verse 15, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. You know what that is? That's our world. This beast is going to reign and rule over the whole world. All of mankind, except for those of us who are saved, we go to heaven at the rapture. And then those that get saved in the first 3.5 years, the beast is going to murder them, and make martyrs out of them. And so this beast is going to influence the whole world. He will touch all nations, all people, and the multitudes and all tongues upon the planet. Look at verse 9 and 10. I want you to notice something else here. Notice the seven heads are the seven mountains upon which this harlot sits. Now again, the Western church has said that this city is Rome because Rome is a city that was built on seven hills. Well, there's a lot of cities that have been built on seven hills, a lot. All right? Rome is not the only one. But there are several cities across the world which have been built on seven hills or seven mountains. My personal feeling here is that this kingdom, these seven mountains upon which the beast kingdom will be built are these seven empires that have at one time or another throughout history ruled the land of Israel. All right, and there are seven of them. All right, now in order to understand all this, again, it is vitally important that we keep all of this in the proper biblical perspective. Remember, the Bible is Jerusalem-centric. Someone said, preacher listened to on the internet, just get his opinion every now and then, and he says that Israel is the timepiece and that Jerusalem is the minute hand. And we are 1 minute till 12 in his opinion. I think that makes perfect sense. But Jerusalem, Israel, that's where the focus is. That's where God's focus is. And we do not need to be taking our focus and putting it on some European city when Europe is not mentioned anywhere in our Bibles and in connection to this. Yes, Paul went to Europe and preached the gospel. Yes, there was the Macedonian call where he said, come over to us. Yes, I understand all that. But in connection to the second coming of Christ and the battle of Armageddon and the Antichrist, nope, it's not there. It's not there. You'll not find Rome in any of that. All right? So, the Bible is Jerusalem-centric, Israel-centric. All through the Old Testament, I pointed this out to you a number of times, God names names. He does not hide his plan. He names names. When God says Babylon, you know what he means? Babylon, exactly. When God says Syria, do you know what he means? He means Syria, yes. When he says Egypt, he means Egypt. He means exactly what he says. And so I think that Mecca will be the capital of the beast kingdom, the mystery Babylon, where in verse 9, the woman sitteth. All right, now look at verse 10, and let's tie this together. All right, look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, five are fallen, and the other is yet to come. Now, let's stop right there, all right? Through the centuries, folks, there have been six worldwide kingdoms that have conquered and have ruled the nation Israel. There was first Egypt. Egypt. Secondly, the Assyrian kingdom, Assyria. Then thirdly, Babylon. Babylon came, you remember, and destroyed Judah and Jerusalem. All right? The Assyrians came and destroyed the 10 northern tribes about 50 years apart. Not quite 50, but somewhere in there. Then number four, the Medes and the Persians. All right? You remember Xerxes and Darius and all that bunch. All right, you remember Ezra and Nehemiah. All right, that's the Medes and Persians. Then number five is Greece. Greece. Greece came and ruled over the Middle East and over Israel and occupied Israel. When you go over to the Middle East, you find remains of the Greek people having been there. All right, then number six, you have the Roman Empire. All right, so we got six now, right? Now, how many have fallen when John wrote this? Five, all right, so what's that mean? Well, that means that the Egyptians were number one, and they were overrun by the Assyrians, so the Egyptians were no more. And then Babylon came and overran the Assyrians. And then the Medes and Persians came and conquered Babylon. So Babylon was no more. And then the Greeks came and they conquered the Medes and Persians. And then the Romans came and they conquered Greece. And he says, five are fallen. So the five up to Greece, all right? Look here. Watch my hand. Watch. All right, here we go. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medes and Persians, Greeks, the Greece kingdom of Greece. All right, five are fallen. All right, now look here. What's the Bible say next? One is. All right, one is. And when John wrote the book of the Revelation, Rome still occupied Israel and the city of Jerusalem. All right? The Romans were there. So number six, you'll notice, is the one that still is. Okay? Now, let's look down here and read it and make sure we got it all right. Verse 10, and there were seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. All right, so you got five fallen, then you got Rome, and Rome is, when John wrote this, Rome was still in authority. And then he says, and the other, number seven, is not yet come. Now watch that. Number seven is not yet come. Now who's writing this? Not a trick question. Who's writing this? John, exactly. Do you know about the date? 90, 92 A.D., yes. All right, so right at the end of the first century, all right, everybody with me so far? All right, who's conquering, who's ruling Israel in 92 AD? Rome. Very good. Very good. All right, now notice that he says, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, when that next one comes, all right, when he comes, number seven, when he comes, it says that he must continue, verse 10, a short space. And the beast that was, so this is the beast kingdom now, is number eight, right? Not Rome. He said, and the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth. Now, isn't that awesome? All right, now follow me. Notice, five have fallen, Egypt through Greece. Then he said, one is, and that's present tense. When the Lord Jesus was on this earth and when John penned the book of the Revelation, the Roman Empire ruled Israel and Jerusalem. All right, now, listen very carefully. In 395 AD, the Roman Empire split into two portions, two segments. There was the east and there was the west. Now that eastern portion became known as the Byzantine Empire. The Byzantine Empire. In this empire, listen carefully now, in this empire down in what is today Saudi Arabia, back then it was just Arabia, but they call it Saudi Arabia because of the Saud family. They rule, okay? So in that Eastern Byzantine Empire, in the early 600s AD, Muhammad established the religion of Islam, and this Islamic empire ruled the Middle East. All right? It ruled the Middle East. A ruler by the name of Mehmet, all right, like the guy running for Senate in Pennsylvania, okay? The ruler by the name of Mehmet II conquered Constantinople, Istanbul, today. And when he conquered Constantinople in 1453 AD, he conquered it in the name of Islam, and he changed its name to Istanbul, and he plundered the Orthodox Christian church that was there called St. Sophia Church, and he turned that church into a mosque. Now, don't forget, that's what they do when they conquer territory. They put a mosque on it to show the world that it's theirs. Now, this lasted from 1453 until the end of World War I. All right, are you wrapping your mind around this? Can you see? Can you see the time frame? In 1924, when the Ottoman Turks were defeated in World War I, the Ottoman Kingdom was divided up by the United States and England and the Allied powers. All right? And so what happened? Well, the Ottoman Kingdom, that western or that eastern half called the Byzantine Ottoman kingdom. Well, when it was divided up, and all the nations were given their land that they had in Bible times. And they were all given their Bible names. That's why today there is a Syria. And you can read about Syria back here in our Old Testament. That's why the Persians, the Iranians. All right? That's why there is the Saudis, Arabia. They all went back to what they were before the invasion and the empire split. All right? So, with that knowledge, listen very carefully now. Here's something to consider. These seven mountains are not seven physical mountains, but they are allegorically seven mountains upon which the final kingdom of the beast will be built. And I want you to listen very carefully here now. I've just given you the names of the kingdoms which have ruled the known world and the Middle East throughout history. And they are, again, in order, watch now, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medes and Persians, Greeks, number five, Roman Empire, which then divided and became the Roman Byzantine Empire, but it did not happen until, as John says, it would come later. All right, look at verse 10. Is not yet come. That's how he worded it. He said the next one, not yet come. What is that? That's number seven, which is the Roman Byzantine Empire, or number six, I'm sorry, and then number seven, because the Roman Empire never was conquered. All right? It split. It divided. And then out of that rose the Byzantine Empire and the Muslim nations. All right? So, listen carefully. And the final one will be the beast Muslim Empire. All right? Now watch carefully. The Egyptian Empire, Egypt. Hey, folks, today Egypt is Muslim. Not just a little bit, but Egypt is a whole lot Muslim. All right? Assyrian Empire. The Assyrian Empire, those nations that made up the Assyrian Empire, like Iran, Iraq, all right, Lebanon, Syria, all those nations that made up the Assyrian Empire, all Muslim today. By the way, in Isaiah 19, the Lord Jesus, when he comes back at the Battle of Armageddon, fights with Egypt. That's Isaiah 19. Look it up. If you don't believe me, look it up. The Assyrian Empire, Muslim today. And when Jesus comes back in Micah chapter 5 and in Isaiah 14, the Lord Jesus at the Battle of Armageddon is going to fight with the Assyrians. And he calls the Antichrist the Assyrian. All right? Next, the Persian, Medes and Persian Empire. Today, Muslim. Totally. Completely. And Christ fights with them in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Then next, the Greek Empire. And the Greek Empire and the Middle East nations, they are today those that the Middle East nations that were ruled by the Greeks, they today are Muslim. 100%. They're Muslim nations. Oh, and by the way, when the Lord comes back, he is going to fight against them. And according to Zechariah chapter 9 and Ezekiel 38, he's going to destroy them. Then you've got the Eastern Roman Byzantine Empire, number 6. And today, that is Muslim. That whole thing, every one of them, they're all Muslim nations. Turkey, and all those nations around Turkey. All Muslim nations. And when Jesus comes back at the Battle of Armageddon, according to Zechariah 9 and Ezekiel 38, again, we're going to see, you're going to read that they do battle with the Lord Jesus and they lose. All right, then next, the Muslim Empire that was just a short time. That's what he says here. All right, don't miss this now. In verse 10, this other is not yet come, and when he cometh, he must continue a short space. So in relation to all the others, for example, the Greeks, which lasted several hundred years, the Romans, which lasted longer than the Greeks, hundreds of years. All right, but when the one that is not yet come comes, John said at the end of verse 10, he must continue a short space. And that kingdom is the Muslim kingdom, the Ottoman kingdom that ruled the Middle East. You had Saladin. Remember, if you went to Egypt with us on either trip, we went to Saladin's castle, to his palace in Cairo. Oh my! This was a powerful, strong. They just went through and destroyed anything and everything, took everything that wasn't nailed down and pried up half that was nailed down. And that today is all Muslim, that Muslim empire, and it lasted until the end of World War I, and that encompasses all of the nations that were under the other six. And they're all going to be drawn into the Battle of Armageddon at the command of the beast, and they're going to be destroyed by the coming King of Kings. Amen. All right, now look at verse 11, and I'm done. Oh my goodness, we're way past time. All right, real quick. All right, look please at verse 11. The eighth king is going to be the beast. And you'll notice that it tells us very clearly, and the beast that was and is not. Now, you remember, he takes a deadly wound to the head. We read back in chapter 13. You remember that? All right, so he's killed. And then to imitate the Lord Jesus, and this is where he will deceive and persuade the world that he is the Messiah. All right? Even he is the eighth and is of the seven. So he is Muslim like the rest of them. He has Ishmael blood running through his veins. Esau blood running through his veins. And then he's going to be destroyed in verse 11. He must continue a short space. Well, 3.5 years is a short space in comparison to what we've had from here back. All right? So does that make sense to you? Folks, listen, the false religion of Islam is the kingdom of the beast that is built. And notice, God, the Holy Spirit, calls this woman a harlot. But the true church is called the bride. That's something to consider, isn't it? All right. Father, thank you for your word. I pray you'll bless this to our hearts tonight. Give us understanding of what we have heard. Help us to see how your word just fits together like a glove. And Father, if we would get rid of this Western theology that has been drilled into our minds. But Father, sometimes it's a little hard to unlearn something that you took so many years to learn. And so I pray you'll help us to get rid of that European Antichrist and European false prophet and European this and European that, and help us to put our focus in the Middle East where you do. And Father, as we do, then we see the Word of God coming together perfectly. And Father, we're excited about the day of the Lord. I pray that you will hasten your return. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.